Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Got a great show coming up, but first, a word from Upside. How are you supposed to save money when you're paying inflated prices for everyday essentials like gas and groceries? How do you fight back against that inflation? You can't just cut purchases of gas or groceries out of your budget. But thanks to, this is back, a couple of years ago, I discovered this, and it's really helped us sort of hack the inflation situation. It's called Upside. It's an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I get cash back on every purchase. I've saved money on gas. I've saved money when I go out to restaurants. You just get a bunch of cash back afterward. You don't have to do anything extra. You just get the thing set up and then it just does the work for you. To get started, download the free Upside app, use my promo code STU. You'll get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. They pay, you just pay as usual with a credit card or a debit card. Follow the steps in the app. It's really, really easy and you'll get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Download the free Upside app and use the promo code STU to get an extra 25 cents back on every gallon in your first tank of gas. Have you looked at gas prices lately? Could you use an extra 25 cents off a gallon? That's a big, big deal on every single gallon. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using the promo code STU with the Upside app.
STU does America.
Great show to get to here, but I know so much to talk about. Dan Andrews is going to join us in a minute to cover the latest inane nonsense to come out of Whoopi Goldberg's mouth. But I want to start with a couple of assassination attempt updates on the Trump story. By the way, we should celebrate here. Has it been 2 full days now? Yeah, 2 days without an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, right? Because the assassination attempt was it Sunday? And then we got Monday and Tuesday, and now it's Wednesday. So who knows? We're part of the way through today, too. Maybe we'll go 3 full days. I can't wait to find out tomorrow. So good job, everybody. If you happen to be an Act Blue donor, thank you for being restrained today. Trump is praising the Secret Service agent at the golf course, but Butler, a very different story. And this is the way I kind of look at this. It is a difficult thing to do, to have to protect a golf course when someone is out there golfing. That's not an easy situation. The fact that they found this guy, I think, is really, really impressive, honestly. But again, if they had more resources, this would be easier. They would be able to search all this stuff in advance. And for some reason, they don't have the resources they need. The USSS is making a pitch here for more resources while Congress seeks to hold them responsible. And look, they're not perfect. There's a lot of complaints. We've gone through a bunch of them, certainly on the Pennsylvania thing, I think to a lesser extent here, but there's still issues here. But what we keep hearing from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is they have all the resources they need. They have all the resources they could possibly want. We want to make sure they have everything they possibly need. But the Secret Service itself is saying we don't have what we need. Like, I understand that there's all sorts of problems at the Secret Service, but they should have all the, it shouldn't be a resource issue. That should not be the problem. Now, part of this might be a little CYA going on with the Secret Service. I acknowledge that, but at this point, when you've had 2 assassination attempts, you better make sure. I mean, we almost had a 3rd one today, it looked like. By the way, that was reported that there was explosives near a rally for Trump. That was debunked. So if you happen to hear that rumor, and it wasn't even a rumor, it was reported by major news sources, but that was very quickly shot down. We'll see if anything is a new development on that over the next couple of days. DeSantis is tapping Florida AG office to oversee investigation into Trump assassination attempt. This is a pretty good idea. There's a little bit of an issue going on if the Department of Justice is leading this investigation, considering they also want to throw him in prison. Are they maybe not the best people to investigate the assassins of Donald Trump at this point? I'd say yes, DeSantis will do a good job with this. He'll be on top of it, and that's a positive development. New Jersey Democrat igniting right wing by saying, I love how they frame this, ignites right wing by saying assassination attempts stemmed from GOP rhetoric, the availability of assault rifles. This is, again, listen to the framing of that. It's this is a Republicans pounce type of moment. It ignites the right wing. It's not like they should be pissed off by it or it's an insane thing to say. No, it got the right wing mad, and that's what we're going to cover. This, by the way, is Representative Mikey Sherrill, and I will be honest with you. I do this for a living. I talk about the Congress with you every day. In my entire life, I have never heard the name Mikey Sherrill. I did not know it was a representative, and I say it for a reason, because I didn't know what it was. I read it as Mike Sherrill, and then later in the story, it said, she said, so I had no idea if it was a man transitioning to a woman, or if it was just a woman with the name Mikey, or I didn't know what was going on. In fact, I really, to be honest with you, still don't know what's going on. I think it's just a woman with the name Mikey. But this is what the woman with the name Mikey said. The assassination attempts, quote, really seems to be the confluence of two very bad things going on in the Republican Party. On one side, attempts to divide, to enrage the population, to put out false rumors and misinformation. Again, like, if Donald Trump is feeding misinformation to the right, which I, whatever, if that's what you believe, fine. How does that make him get shot by someone on the left? I don't understand that. Can you explain that? I didn't think so. She also says guns are bad, and that's what she went on to say. So we have all that, and that's all going on. I want to make sure you know that we're on top of it, and we're going to give you all the latest as we go through the week, because we can't just let assassination attempts be a one-day story. That's what I keep saying. There are other big stories to talk about, but assassination attempts, not a one-day story, so we're going to make sure we keep covering it. But let's now explode. Well, we're not going to explode. We may explode, but, I mean, if you happen to be in Lebanon yesterday, you know at any point you may explode. But now we're going to turn and do the exploding pagers, because I think that's also a massive story that is also not a one-day story. We covered it a little bit yesterday, but there's a lot going on there. Let me give you the background. Hezbollah is hit by a wave of exploding pagers that has killed at least 9 people and injured thousands. Pagers used by hundreds of members of the militant group Hezbollah exploded near simultaneously Tuesday in Lebanon and Syria, killing at least 9 people, including an 8-year-old girl, and wounding several thousand. Hezbollah and the Lebanese government blamed Israel for what appeared to be a sophisticated remote attack. Now, there's a lot to know about this. It's a fascinating story from, like, at the base level, like a James Bond level of holy crap, how did they pull this off, right? Like, that is a major thing. You hear the stories of the 8-year-old girl who died. There's also a line there to think about when you're doing something like this, that obviously not everyone who's going to be holding the pager at the time is going to be the Hezbollah member, right? Like, you put it out in a population, who knows where these pagers go? You're likely to have some collateral damage. That is part of this. We just don't know how much of it there was yet. And we're starting to learn how it was actually accomplished, which is fascinating. Hezbollah pager attack details point-to-point supply chain infiltration by Israel. Many of the affected pagers were from a new shipment that Hezbollah had received recently, part of a nearly year-long process to swap out older devices. The group, I love how, like, even terrorist groups have these, like, IT things. Like, I know every time I like launch my computer, it's like, your organization is requiring you save your password. And you're like, oh, no, stop it. I want to just go online. Even terrorist groups are leading with IT hassles, and that's something that makes me feel a little bit better. This was, like, the biggest IT hassle of all time, though, I will say. Anyway, the group said they detonated in roughly unison at 3:30 p.m. Survivors supported hearing the pagers beep and display a series of numbers on their screens about 5 seconds before they detonated. That is an interesting detail to this. If you think about it, and you may have seen some of the videos of pagers exploding, like, on the belt line or on the pocket. As someone put it today, the ultimate birth control device for Hezbollah. So, you know, some negative injuries there. But really what it was designed to do, it beeped several times loudly. And what do you do when you have a, now I know it's 1994, so you might not be doing anything with your pager these days, but if you happen to be a drug dealer, you'll understand. If it's beeping like crazy, you're going to pick up the pager and you're going to look at it. And it was designed to be a message from Hezbollah's leadership. So what are you going to do? You're going to read that pretty closely. And when that thing blows up, where is it? Right by your face. right? So lots of eye injuries, lots of facial injuries, obviously some deaths. Really, I mean, an incredible attack to pull off, but also a just gruesome one. I mean, it really was. I don't have any sympathy for Hezbollah members who are trying to kill people, but it is a gruesome thing. The initial assessment is that the pagers detonated because an explosive device was implanted in the new models. The scenario indicates Israel found its way into Hezbollah's supply chain to modify the devices that were delivered. First of all, don't screw with Israel. I think that's lesson number one. But basically, these pagers were built and being shipped to Hezbollah in Lebanon and I guess in Syria as well, or at least some of them found their way to Syria. In between that process, they were intercepted and apparently installed with explosive devices. And then some sort of hack was able to potentially heat up the battery or switch put a switch on that was able to set off all of these devices at the same time. There it had to be a switch because, I mean, the battery heating up might eventually do that, but you wouldn't be able to time it exactly. They were able to time it basically exactly so everyone got it at the same time. The new pagers hadn't even reached all of Hezbollah's ranks, and those carrying older devices were spared. Some of those carrying the new devices were spared as well when they didn't go off because the batteries were dead or they hadn't been turned on. What's interesting about that part of it is I think ideally, if you're doing this attack and you're trying to get to the upper levels of management, you're going to wait for a while. You want these things to kind of sift all the way through the organization. They had to pull the trigger almost literally a little early in this particular case. And we think we know why now. When the devices did explode, those who immediately checked their pagers suffered injuries to their hands and eyes, while those who delayed suffered leg and waist injuries. Ultimately, the attack killed at least 12 people and injured roughly 2,800. And this is why, though, it seemed like it went a little bit early. Israel conducted a Lebanon pager attack, fearing Hezbollah was onto it, onto the operation. They said, quote, "It was a use it or lose it moment," one U.S. official said, describing the reasoning Israel gave the U.S. for the timing of the attack. Now, theoretically, they haven't claimed responsibility yet. Everyone kind of knows and assumes that this was Israel. And basically, somehow, Hezbollah was onto him. So they were like, pull the trigger right now. Let's see what we can do. This obviously creates massive damage throughout your organization. If 3,000 people, some of which will die, some of which are in critical condition, some of which will just have, you know, holes blown in their legs. It's going to be really hard to lead a battle if that happens to be you and you're in Hezbollah. Hezbollah is vowing to punish Israel after pager explosions across Lebanon. Lebanese Information Minister Ziad Makari condemned the late afternoon detonation of the pagers, handheld devices that Hezbollah and others in Lebanon used to send messages, as an Israeli aggression. Hezbollah said Israel would receive its fair punishment for the blast. Now, it's interesting because Hezbollah basically only changed over to pagers because they believed the phones they were carrying were able to be hacked and listened to and monitored, so they thought that was an operational risk. The pagers didn't improve that situation, let's just say, and has actually made a considerable amount worse. So there's two levels to this, because I think it's easy, and I don't know, it's your initial reaction probably, to look at this and say, holy crap, how the hell they pulled this off? This is James Bond type stuff. It is an amazing operation. And it does show you, you don't screw with Israel without any punishment. Things are get negative for you and your life if you screw with Israel in this way. Secondarily, though, Hezbollah is going to probably take some time. They're going to have to assess what happened. They're going to have to probably rebuild their ranks and do all sorts of things to get ready for this. But they're going to come back with something, right? Something terrible is going to happen in Israel, probably as revenge for this. And that's certainly what they're promising. We've been able to avoid a wider war from what we've seen with just Hamas and Israel so far. Remember, we had the Iran sending a bunch of rockets over. Hezbollah has been attacking pretty much constantly. They've been firing and trading rockets back and forth and fire back and forth across the border. You also have the Hamas thing going on. We are getting closer and closer to an all-out war in the Middle East. And that is, while this is certainly a very highly effective act, and it's hard to certainly have any sympathy for Hezbollah members, but also have any real doubt as to, if you were Israel, you'd probably do the same thing, right? You want to make sure you're taking out Hezbollah leadership. They're threatening you and they're trying to kill your people all the time. In addition to that, though, it's important to understand this could get out of control quickly. It's the same thing I keep coming back to on Ukraine. Look, if I'm Ukraine, they cross my border, I'm going to do everything I can to take that land back, and I'm going to fight to the utmost of my abilities to try to get my land back and protect my people. The question that I have is, with our involvement, does this spiral into a situation where we're involved, where we wind up in a global war or a NATO war, where this is a situation where everything is much more inflamed, and you and your children and my children and me have an issue where we might be seeing missiles start flying? That, to avoid that, is my top priority. My top priority is not the borders of Ukraine. I understand why it's their top priority. I understand it would be ours if Mexico invaded us. I'd be really, really passionate about that. But I don't want this to inflame into something where, you know, we're wind up getting hit with nuclear weapons or something of that sort. Russia is saying if we allow them to fire longer missiles into these long distance missiles into the territory of Russia, that they will say that it is an act of war, not by just Ukraine, but by us, by other Western countries. These sorts of risks and the spiraling of these risks is a massive, massive problem right now. And we are in a situation looking at Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran, where that could also blow up into a larger situation. Israel, I think, as they've shown over the past 24 hours, is very capable of defending themselves and aren't asking us to come in and fight that war for them. However, things getting out of control. Things getting more and more chaotic. We are in a very risky situation, not only for, of course, the lives of you and everybody around you that you care about, but also a global economy, oil prices, all sorts of different concerns wind up cropping up when you get into this type of situation. Hopefully, we can figure out a way that the terrorists wind up not killing other people and the war doesn't escalate to those levels. But it's something you have to be on the alert for. And it also is something that you have to think about when you're picking your next president. You want Kamala Harris running the situation? You can have that. It's available to you. If you think Kamala Harris can micromanage multiple wars like this, hey, you know, the people around it, maybe you think it's Antony Blinken. I don't think Kamala's going to do it. Antony Blinken's got his head screwed on straight and he's going to handle this. I've seen no evidence of that. What I've seen is catastrophic, chaotic, spinning out of control since these guys got into the office. I'd like that to stop. I think somebody else, probably anybody else, but somebody else can at least bring us back to the situation we had between, you know, 2017 and 2020, where a lot of this stuff wasn't happening. You know, we had some major threats. A lot of those went away and we were in a period of relative peace and prosperity. That's probably a better choice than trying this out again for four more years for Kamala and crossing your fingers and hoping she doesn't screw it up. Because have you ever seen her try to do something? That's usually the way it ends up. All right, I want to get into something else, something maybe a little bit less catastrophic. Coming up next with Dan Andros from CBN. Do you think your skin enjoyed the summer as much as you did? You might have had vacations and beach time, and that was really, really fun. But then maybe after the aftermath, you're starting to get into fall a little bit. You're starting to notice, hey, have I got some skin problems from all that sun exposure? Well, Stephanie from Santa Cruz, California, had some issues with that. She's had it for years and years and years. She says, I have skin damage from years in the sun. I love this product. She's talking about Genucel. It reduces the appearance of the various discolorations and leaves my skin looking younger, even at my age. Stephanie is raving about the Genucel Dark Spot Corrector. If you have dark spots on your skin, you don't like them very much, maybe you went through lots of sun time and you've got the sun spots or brown spots or discoloration, even red inflamed patches, they can disappear in front of your very eyes with Genucel. The Genucel guarantee is amazing. You'll see results the very first day, guaranteed or your money back. So there's no, you don't have to believe them here. You don't have to believe in Genucel. You know, trust but verify, right? Like, get your money back if it doesn't work for you. Take advantage of the Genucel current most popular package, which includes the classic Genucel bags and puffiness treatment for, and also they have immediate effects, which is another thing they've got going on in this package. You're going to love it, and it's about 70% off. You can get the best in skincare in the world for yourself completely risk-free. It is simple. Go to Genucel.com/stew today and start looking years, even decades younger tomorrow. It's Genucel.com/stew as a special gift. They've got the every package order has this limited edition spa gift set with two skincare essentials for you right now, absolutely free. Go to Genucel.com/stew. It's Genucel.com/stew.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
I want to bring in Dan Andros. He's a managing editor at CBN News and host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me, Stu.
I'm concerned about what's going on in the world of Taylor Swift these days. And, you know, it's always a high, as you know, a huge Swiftie. I know all of her songs or song. I don't know how many she has on it, but whatever amount she has is the amount that I like. But she's in the news today, kind of related to Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes' wife, Brittany, is a Trump supporter and has been praised by Donald Trump before. And I mean, Taylor Swift came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. This is literally a surprise to nobody. Donald Trump got angry about this, apparently, and just messaged, truthed, whatever he did, and just said, "I hate Taylor Swift," which... It was a very nuanced tweet. I don't know if you caught all the nuance in that. But apparently now Brittany Mahomes is sitting back and is just like upset and doesn't understand whether she should continue to support Donald Trump publicly because it's causing all these problems because she's friends with Taylor Swift. Now, this sounds like a terrible episode of a soap opera. But in reality, it's like these are big public figures. I don't know why we're supposed to care about who they think we should vote for. Does America actually like pay any attention to celebrity endorsements?
I hope not. And I know there's Swifties of all age ranges, but I mean, I would think that most of them are, you know, 12-year-old girls. So I don't know. I don't know if Democrats have tried to figure out a way to get the 12-year-old girl vote to be a thing. Wouldn't be shocked. But she already tried to do this in Tennessee, and I always forget the person's name that she tried to throw her support behind, and it failed badly.
Well, that tells you how well it worked out that we can't remember the name of the person she tried to support.
Right, and it was like, okay, if like it was like testing the waters, right? Like, let's Taylor Swift is going, you know what? I'm going to throw my weight in this state race here and see what happens, and it utterly fails. And if you can't turn a state race around, like I guess maybe, I don't know. I'm already of a very low view of the kind of general voter who's not paying attention. So I guess I wouldn't be entirely shocked, but I would be a little depressed if people are like, you know what, Taylor's doing it, so I think I should too. I mean, I hope people aren't thinking that way. I liked Patrick Mahomes' answer. It was like, just make your own decision. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You do what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's the way that we should be hearing from celebrities all the time, in my view.
Yeah.
Look, they have the right, of course, to speak their mind. But, like, I just don't understand what the benefit is. And on that note, let me just go back and focus on the Trump part of this for just a second. Of what value is it to Donald Trump to tweet, "I hate Taylor Swift"? I don't think it's going to make him lose the election. But like, look at what it did with Brittany Mahomes, right? Like, it makes people who like her just, you know, hesitant to embrace you that much more. And I don't know, maybe this is just a one time situation with a friend of Taylor Swift's. But like, I don't know, the people that who really love her. And while you point out, you know, my daughter's 11 and absolutely loves Taylor Swift's music. So I don't know if they went after the 11-year-old girl vote, but that could be next around the corner. But like, you know, she's been around a long time. I mean, there are a lot of people of our generation that are big Taylor Swift fans that have either grew up with, when they were younger as Taylor Swift fans, or have embraced her because their kids like her so much. And like, I just don't, what is the point? Like, I ask this question because like, there's a lot of things that are happening on this campaign that I keep saying, what's the point? What's the point of flying around with Laura Loomer? What's the point of getting in the middle of crowd debates with Kamala Harris, your most public appearance with her? Like, there's a lot of that strategy stuff that I feel like is going the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be close, whatever the numbers end up being. But just judging by the polling that I'm seeing, it looks like it'll be pretty close. And so what happens in a close election? Like, yeah, sure, you got to rally your base. But I mean, does the MAGA base really need rallying at this point? I don't know that you need to keep stirring up the red meat for your hardest, most ardent supporters. It just doesn't seem like a winning strategy to when you're trying to win by the narrowest of margins here. It seems to me you need to go to those people who are gettable, right? You're not getting an ardent Harris supporter at this point, right? Like, it's just not happening. But there are a lot of people who are kind of like, I don't know. But if you're out there going, ah, man, I hate Taylor Swift, I don't know that you're going to get these middle of the road people that are looking for an answer as to who they're going to support. It seems like you, I don't know. I think the time would be much better used to keep pointing out that struggles that people are having. I thought in the debate, he started to get in on it. Of course, Muir tried to immediately shift to race when Trump started getting some traction on this, but pointing out, hey, there were no big global wars going on when I was in office, right? Like, Russia wasn't invading Ukraine. Hamas didn't launch a full-scale attack. As soon as I get out of there, the Abraham Peace Accords apparently get brushed aside, and all these wars start breaking out. Like, articulate these positions. Yeah. Talk about how their policies have made it. There are tangible things that voters are feeling right now, like the price of bread, the price of gas, trying to go anywhere, try to buy anything. Tap into those things and remind people that how it was when you were in office, it was a little better. I think those sorts of things could really convince people. And you know, I thought, and still, I don't think we've talked since the debate, but my favorite answer that he gave was when they started in about, oh, well, you talked about Harris's race. And he said, you know, I don't care what she is. That was the best answer, because it just made it look so ridiculous that the left is focused on this when there are real things happening to American people that they're struggling with.
I might remind you of the moderator's follow-up question after that, which was, Ms. Harris, your feelings on this? Which I thought was a really tough question.
Really good follow-up.
Yeah, tough, on tough. The race thing. Yeah. And look, I think, like, people like, at some level, the Trump tactic of saying something, you know, arguably outlandish or offensive or whatever. But that has to tie to a larger issue, right? Like, even like, you could argue with the pets thing, which wasn't exactly the right moment or the right delivery of that. But, like, at least it draws attention to a real problem in Ohio, if you want to look at it in a positive way. The Taylor Swift thing, I'm not sure does that. Let me go, though, switch gears real quick to Whoopi Goldberg, which I apologize for doing. But, like, there are people who are not self-aware, and then, like, 100,000 feet, and then Whoopi Goldberg. She is the least self-aware person of all time. I want to play for you a clip of her on The View saying, accusing Republicans of having really a horrible language that's causing violence. Watch.
And also, let's stop this thing. You know, let's stop this both sides stuff.
It's a bunch of...
Because it's not correct. It is not both sides.
It's not.
It is one clear side. And you can point to many, many reports. You can point to all kinds of stuff that's been reported. You guys have to, you have to pull it back. This is not us or them. This is, you got to stop doing what you're doing, JD, and what you're doing, Mr. T, because you are not helping the situation.
Now, they're talking about language that has led to an assassination, two assassination attempts against Donald Trump, but apparently that's Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, I mean, this is when you know you have fallen into the full vat of hackery and you just cannot get out of it. I mean, that is just pathetic, right? And I know Trump says things as well, like about Biden and stuff, but regardless of whatever Trump has said, the obvious fact right now is people are shooting at Trump. Okay, so I don't know what else you can do with that. You know, I don't want anybody else to shoot at any presidential candidates. I don't want any of that. But right now, they're aiming at Trump. And we all know, Stu, what would happen if this were reversed, right? And if the two assassination attempts were on a Democratic candidate, it was on Harris or Biden or something like that. I mean, we probably wouldn't even be on the air anymore, you know, as conservatives, as Christians. It's just I mean, look, they took January 6th, which obviously wasn't good, but they've stretched that into like a 4-year saga here, or however long ago it was. And I just can only imagine what they would be doing in the hyperventilating with the two assassination attempts. The most amazing thing to me, Stu, in the debate, one of them, was the fact that the moderators didn't even bring up an assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump mentioned it once, but can you imagine that? Can you imagine that they didn't even think it was newsworthy enough to ask anything about it? They asked about January 6th a whole bunch of times, spent a whole bunch of time talking about January 6th, but couldn't even bring themselves to make one point, one observation about an assassination attempt that happened just weeks before to one of the two candidates on the stage. It's just...
Yeah,
it's just insane.
That's a great point. I mean, and as you point out, like, what would happen if something like this occurred the other way? You know, it's January 6th, right? You'd have multiple years of investigations, people going to prison, people being tried in public court of public opinion, and it would never end. It would be the end of democracy. But like, think about that moment as you bring that up, Dan. It's a great point, because let's just say, God forbid, some right wing person took a shot at, you know, some Democrat. And then they went on stage. There would definitely be a question to Donald Trump. Your rhetoric caused this bullet to fly by somebody's head. I can't believe you did that. Why would you do that? There would be that. He would need to answer for the assassin. There was nothing like that in that debate whatsoever.
No. And you know what's insane, Stu, is that the ad I keep hearing whenever I get in my car, I usually turn on the radio and just see what's going on. And the ad I keep hearing, because they're running the political ads, is Donald Trump is a danger to democracy. And it's like, and it's called Project 2025.
Oh, God.
And so they're still running the threat. And it's still a totally baseless claim that he has anything to do with Project 2025, which, of course, they didn't fact check, by the way, on the debate. But it's just they're still doing it. And they don't care at all that they're labeling this guy a threat to democracy. And I'm fine with them calling on all sides to tamp it down. I have no problem with that, because I think, yeah, you should. Fine. Like, let's just stick to the actual issues that matter. Like, let me hear some policy points. I mean, if you look at a debate from even just Romney and Obama, they're talking about, you know, on page 6 here on this economic policy of yours, you know, they're going back and forth on this. And it's like, I'd like a little more of that. I don't mind the zingers once in a while. Like, you gotta do that sort of stuff. But I mean, the pie chart on it and the split is not very good right now. We're heavy on the memes, low on the substance.
Yes, I will say that. And one more thing on Whoopi before we go.
Yes.
I was half expecting her to look into the camera and say, look, this isn't us doing this. This is you doing this. It wasn't me that starred in Sister Act 2. That was you. I mean, she is the most guilty person in the world of this type of rhetoric. We have a little montage for you here. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, if I see another Republican senator talk about their heart being broken, I'm going to go punch somebody. You worried that you can't pay your bill? Wait till the other guy becomes president, and you won't have to worry about it, because you'll be in some camp somewhere, because that's his promise. And I know his grandchild was up on the thing, and they're trying to humanize him. And let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
Trump.
Yeah. He tends to just...
But can I mention...
I'm going to be, on day one, I'm going to be a dictator. I'm going to take all the journalists, I'm going to take all the gay folks, I'm going to move you all around and disappear you. If that's the country you want, you know who to vote for. You know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it, because this requires you recognizing that we're all in danger here.
See, Dan, it's not her doing it, it's you doing it, right?
Yeah. JD needs to tamp it down. And wow, I did not. I see, thankfully, I'm not up on my The View topics. I haven't watched that, praise God, in a long time. But I mean, just imagine listening to that every day. And I don't know how you, I mean, you're thinking slavery's coming back. And oh my gosh. I mean, that's just.
What would you be? It's the type of rhetoric that would have someone who's like, wow, slavery's coming back. They're going to put us in camps. What do I do about that situation?
It's illogical. Look, Stu, you and I both, I know, have never blamed the actions of crazy people on the rhetoric, right? Like, it's ultimately the crazy person's fault.
But 100%, yeah.
You have to understand the playing field and at least try to make an effort, right? I understand you have to point out where you think they're going to be, your opponent's going to be really bad for the country, right? I get that. You have to do that. And just because some nut thinks, oh, well, I better kill him then. I mean, that's obviously not 100% your fault. But you can't be throwing gasoline onto the fire intentionally, especially after two attempts now. You got to at least try to do better.
And you just think that if you happen to be the person who has been throwing that gasoline on the fire for years and years
you
and years.
You have no
years,
standing. No standing
be out there
whatsoever.
Blaming J.D. No. Vance for being the cause of these problems.
100%.
Dan Andros, managing editor of CBN News. Be sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast. It's there for you every morning. Wonderful news podcast. Get you all caught
when
up on
when are you
going to
come on this podcast, by the way?
I have almost nothing to do, Dan. I'm available to you at any moment of the day.
All right.
You let me know. All right.
We're going to make it happen.
Dan, thanks for coming on the program.
Yep.
I want you to imagine for a moment that you're about to make the biggest financial decision most people make in their lives, either buying or selling a home. And if you're thinking about that, and you're like, oh, gosh, I would love to have help on that, like to have the best people possible to help me through that process. What would it be like to not have to worry about that? What would it be like to not have to worry about the contractors or the repair work or the photographer for your home or the right mortgage company? What if you have someone who knows all that information? Well, that's what you get at realestateagentsitrust.com. They're going to pair you with the best real estate agent in your area. And like you think of a real estate agent as someone, I was just talking to my friend who's a real estate agent, and she was saying like, oh, look, you know, it's all about like, you know, not only having a situation where you know how to file the right paperwork. It's about knowing all those additional things. I worked with her when we sold our house, and she was like, hey, you know that repair you're going to do? And I don't remember which one it was. But like, that's not going to make your price any higher. Like, don't bother with it. It's not going to help your sales price. Let them do that and let them customize it themselves. That was advice that helped me probably make thousands of dollars, not wasted on a repair. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Find that person in your life. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
New polling out from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution shows Donald Trump with a lead in a swing state, the state of Georgia. Interesting, too, you kind of look at this graph, and they've got a little graph here for you. Chartapalooza here on Stu Does America. For those on podcast, what you see is a line of a separation between Trump and Joe Biden, excuse me so much, for going back, you know, it's been a 6-7 point leads. I mean, there's larger leads. And it definitely has tightened up since Biden dropped out of the race. But what you've also seen is Trump go up since Biden left the race, which is kind of an interesting dynamic. Anyway, right now what we see is Trump 47, Harris 44. If you remember, of course, in 2020, Donald Trump lost Georgia narrowly under circumstances that many found controversial. But a 3-point lead, it's about the same as when Harris dropped or came into the race. It's about maybe from a 4-point to a 3-point lead. Not much change that we've seen. And that includes not only the rise of Harris and all the glowing adoration, but this is post-debate polling. So really not much tightening we see in Georgia. Good news for Donald Trump there. Another poll as well comes out of Gaza. And I found this fascinating. A poll is finding shrinking support in Gaza for Hamas' decision to launch the October 7th attack. Now, you might say, wait, wasn't that when they just murdered and raped 1,000 people? Was there a high level of support? Yeah, kind of was in Hamas. Now, something about a military basically destroying your entire civilization to kill your leadership, it gets people to turn a little bit. Maybe this is a lesson that if you shouldn't, I don't know, try the October 7th thing again, because maybe there's consequences you don't want to live with. And that's exactly, of course, the message Israel was attempting to send with those particular responses. Poll conducted in early September, so it's a little old, by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research found that 57% of people surveyed in Gaza said the decision to launch the offensive was incorrect. Only 39% said it was correct. And you're like, wait a minute, 40% of the population thought October 7th was okay? Yeah. And by the way, if you've ever looked at any Palestinian polling at all, that's really, really good. That is a legitimately positive development in Gaza. And they're not fans of Jews over there. And sometimes you see 90% support for terrorist attacks in that region. The fact that we're only looking at 39% is a miracle in Gaza. By the way, still 35% of people support Hamas generally. That is down from 38%. So they're not all that popular there. Fascinating, though, the West Bank, 64% of people in the West Bank still support October 7th. 64%. Now, you might see that they didn't get the ramifications of it. It was Gaza that got the ramifications. The support in the West Bank is holding up because they haven't had to deal with the raids and explosions and such that have happened after it. So, this stuff does work. If you respond harshly against attacks like this, you can at least move some people. But generally speaking, still far too high levels of support in both regions for the October 7th attacks. We all know the left has a quite an expansive end game when it comes to them getting power. A big part of this is court packing. They want the Supreme Court to go away. The Supreme Court keeps getting in the way. They want to do this stuff on ruining religious liberty. They want to do stuff of forcing, you know, bakers to bake cakes they don't want to bake, making coaches stop praying, not to mention things like student loans. They want to do all this stuff, but they keep getting stopped by the Supreme Court. So what do? Well, you pack the court. First Liberty Institute is calling all this out. They are saying this is a Supreme Court coup. That's what they're trying to do in the Biden administration and the Harris administration. Right now, if we unite our voices and take action together, we can still do something about this. It doesn't have to happen. We can stop the left's plan to take control of the Supreme Court. The future of the court and of preserving an independent judiciary is literally in our hands, and that's why the First Liberty Institute is taking action. They need you to join up, though. This is a great organization. A million patriots like you and me stand up for the Supreme Court. We can do something about this. Send a real message to make sure the judiciary stays independent, just as our founding fathers intended. So say no to the left's Supreme Court coup. We can secure the blessings of liberty and protect the future of our constitutional rights and republic for our children and our grandchildren. Go to supremecoup.com/stew. Supremecoup.com/stew. You can learn out how to stop the radical left's takeover of the Supreme Court through First Liberty Institute. It is supremecoup, C-O-U-P, supremecoup.com/stew. Progressives are hoping Harris's border shift is temporary. And I've got incredible news for all progressives. All of her views are temporary. Jim Garrity that used to say every Obama policy comes with an expiration date? I mean, with Harris, like you're out of the bin that's like been out of the refrigerator for like a month. Stuff's all gone bad. And I will say, in all seriousness as well, The border shift isn't even real, let alone temporary. It is not real. She will not even support the very crappy bill that we've been talking about once she becomes president, if she does, God forbid. We have a new Disney Plus series, Agatha All Along, that is touted as the gayest project Marvel has ever done. What a title. Congratulations. If you didn't think they were like doubling and tripling and quadrupling and quintupling down, they are. And then, of course, in other woke Hollywood news, John Leguizamo was ready to lead a dramatic TV series, so he helped create a platform to stream it. Now, good. Take the initiative. Go ahead, John Leguizamo, and do the thing that you wanted to do. He's always complaining about Hispanics not having roles, I guess. He got Luigi in the Super Mario Brothers movie. He's not Italian, so he got that. And also, like, he was given a leading role. We provided as a society a leading role. And you know what he did with it? He did The Pest. That's what he did with it. The freaking Pest. By the way, go back and watch that movie. We should do a whole monologue on John Leguizamo one day, and specifically The Pest, where we're talking about like blackface and like Asian stereotypes throughout the movie. I guess that's okay. And he can be seen as a racial hero or something, but don't preach to me when you were the star of The Pest. Got something cool coming up for you tomorrow. We've been working on it for a few weeks here. It's kind of an effort to be able to make all this election information, all the polls and all the, you know, election models and the prediction markets and all that stuff kind of make sense in one understandable way. We'll have that for you on tomorrow's program. And you can, by the way, subscribe at blazetv.com/stu. Promo code right now is stu40. And I point that out to you because they don't usually give $40 off. Again, it's probably not going to last that long, so take advantage of it. Stu40 is the code you can use right now. Get $40 off your subscription to Blaze TV. Just a few weeks left of the election. Let's all try to get through it together.